What's up, everyone, and happy new year. We are back with District Baseball, starting off with our player rankings in 2024. Today, we are covering catchers, as we do every year, but this is our first year doing it for District Baseball. We got a little change up going on with how we progress through our rankings, so we'll cover all of that for the catcher position today. But Trey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just once again, we're just kind of waiting for stuff to happen this offseason. Right. It's just trickling in
slowly but surely.
But now this is our normal thing that we always do. We like to do our player rankings before the season starts for each position. And this will be a projection based list. So we're going to be trying a little bit to predict who's going to do what in 2024. So don't, you know, it's not maybe top 10 catchers right this second, but more so what we think will happen in the next season. But yeah, I think we can go ahead and get right into the list, I think.
Yeah. And I'll preface and I'll talk about this as we get through some of the guys on the list as well. Typically for catching, it's been a little bit more subject. I mean, all these rankings are subjective. That's the whole point of rankings. But like with catching in particular, it's, do you value defense more? Do you value offense more? And I think both lines of thinking are valid, because if you're getting offensive production from the catching position, that's kind of a plus. You don't really get that with a lot of guys who are good defensively, and vice versa. Like if you get offensive production, a lot of the times it's at the expense of defense. You know, there's only a couple of guys that can do both. So I will say that I leaned a little bit more defensive heavy with my list this year. You've always kind of been that way, but I think you actually went maybe a little less defensive heavy than
I was going a little bit more balanced this year.
Yeah.
I think for me, but you know, defense is definitely the most important part of catching for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But I think we have a pretty good list, and at the top of that list and arguably, you know, one of the best players in the league, even though he's a second year player for all intents and purposes, Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, I don't know what's left to be said about this kid that hasn't already been said, but a 5.1 F4 last year, 20 home runs, 277, 374, 435. I mean, there's not much he doesn't do. And the thing I'll say about Adley, again, I don't need to like sell or like defend our ranking at Adley at one. He's not necessarily at the top of like the defensive metrics, whatever you know metric you want to use to evaluate catching, but he's usually top 10 to top 15. But also I haven't seen a catcher influence the entire team in quite some time like Adley influences the Orioles.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because they, you know, kind of lack the star power, and that's why I'm sure O's fans really want them to be more active in free agency. Keep wishing. But you know, you look at the other stars like JT Realmuto, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, but like when he was really in his prime, you didn't feel like the team-wide impact. And that's not a knock against JT. I'm just talking about how Adley has really taken over. The last guy I can think of in that regard is Buster Posey, like in the 2010 or like early 2010s. Mm-hmm. And it would not shock me if Adley wins an MVP at some point during his career, like especially, you know, with some like Shohei going to the NL and some Mike Trout, you know, going towards the end of his career, like the perennial top MVP vote getters, like the doors open for new guys that might have been overlooked to really slide in. And I think Adley can do that and would be deserving if that happened. But yeah, he is the heart and soul of the Orioles and like no question, one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, that's a good point about how the team kind of rallies around him specifically.
Yeah.
He has that intangible effect, the energy. He's great at controlling the pitching staff. So everything you said is exactly what I would say. I mean, it's pretty much spot on. Great balanced catcher. He can hit. He can defend. Great discipline at the plate. Walks at a 13% clip and doesn't really strike out much. And he's a switch hitter as well, which is even more of a thing.
That.
Which, yeah, and that's you know, you think about switch hitting, you know, and he's hitting right-handed and in Camden, I mean, you might as well take the homer out of play. So that's a disadvantage that he has to deal with, and he's still produced at that level. And it's the second year in a row he's produced at that level. And yeah, I still think his ceiling is higher. So I think Adley at number one is a perfectly fine choice. But either way, he's top three no matter what.
Yeah, that might be just I'm doing a quick run through positions in my head, but I think Adley at one for catchers is like one of, if not the most universally agreed on ranking, you know, across, you know, podcasts or shows or whatever. I think everyone kind of agrees Adley's at number one.
Yeah. Well, he just hasn't shown anything worse than this level. If this is his worst level, then like,
right.
Imagine how good he's going to get. So like, yeah. He's still such a young player. So
exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure most people are going to have him at the top.
Yeah. Agreed. So no shakeup there for the district baseball boys, but moving on to number two is a guy, honestly, hand up. I've been on this dude's camp for a while now, on the bandwagon, so to speak, but like in my catching rankings, I almost forgot about him a little bit because, you know, Adley's getting all the hype, and, you know, then you get the old guard that is kind of slowly disappearing, and JT's kind of the last one of that old guard. But Will Smith comes in at number two in our rankings, and I think because, you know, Adley gets all the hype, and you know, you saw what Gabriel Moreno, for example, did in the postseason. You know, there's all these new shiny toys at the catching position, whereas Will Smith has been doing this for years now, and at a high level. Like, is he better than Adley? Like, is it a debate? I don't think it's necessarily a strong one, unless you want to use like sample size or volume, then I'm fine with it. But like, Will Smith is comfortably in that, you know, 1B tier. He's one of the reasons why the Dodgers can like turn over the position players around him and turn over the pitching staff, because they have such a strong player at, you know, a cornerstone position. Last year, 19 home runs, 261, 359, 438 with a 4.4 WAR. There's not really
a Will Smith season right there.
Right. Like, there's no part of his game that he does poorly. Like, he was fourth amongst catchers in defensive runs saved. Again, he's on one of the best teams in baseball. Like, he's positive in stolen base for stolen base run saved. I was like, couldn't remember. I was like going to say stolen base percentage, which he might be. I don't have those stats in front of me. He's like positive in strike zone run saved. Like, he does everything well defensively. He's well above average for catchers offensively. So, you know, again, he's in that Adley territory. Like, I don't know what else you really need to say about Will Smith, but he's number two.
Yeah. For me, again, this is a Will Smith season. This is what he does. He does it every year, and you're absolutely taking that. I'm personally I've just been waiting for the Will Smith breakout year that I know is there. I know it's there. I know the 140, 150 WRC plus is in there for a full season for him. And I'm just waiting for that to give him that number one territory, because once he has that MVP caliber season that I think he can have, like, I think 30 homers is in there. I feel like that's a thing he can do. He has the plate discipline. He hits for enough power, and defensively he's only improved. So once he hits that big season is going to be the turning point. But right now I'm absolutely taking this version of Will Smith. He's excellent.
Yeah. So that right there is the difference to me between Will Smith and Adley. I think both have exceptionally high floors, but I can see the MVP season for Adley, whereas I don't necessarily see it for Will Smith.
Yeah, he hasn't showed it yet, even though it's right. You know, we've kind of been waiting for it, and I still feel like it's there. So I want to see that.
Yeah, and that's not even to say like because of his teammates. I mean, he has three guys on his team right now that could win MVP ahead of him. It's kind of a tough spot to be in if you're Will Smith, but I'm just talking about, like, you know, other players aside, like I don't see the ceiling quite as high for Will Smith, even though he was a first round pick. Like, there's no knock against Will Smith. But I think Adley really has that ceiling, and we've even kind of been teased with that ceiling. Whereas, like you said, Will Smith has just been the you know, epitome of consistency throughout his career, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So we're moving on to number three, and this is a guy, you know, if you've been watching the show for a little while, you know I've been loving to take my Corey Seager victory lap. You, my friend,
I win.
You, my friend, deserve a Jonah Heim victory lap, because you were on the Jonah Heim campaign trail last year when we did this episode, and I think it's safe to say after the 2023 season, many people are on the Jonah Heim campaign trail. Like, I was really debating putting him at two, but I felt really good about him at three. Last year was unquestionably his breakout year. 4.1 F4, 18 home runs, 258, 317, 438 in a World Series campaign for the Texas Rangers. I mean, like, if you look at the Rangers and any World Series winning team, like, there's those guys you need to step up their game. Those are the guys that you maybe not expect to fill an important role. You know, you look at the Nats with Howie Kendrick and so on and so forth. And Jonah Heim, obviously he was their starting catcher, but like, he really took his game to the next level. And yeah, you had Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and Jordan Montgomery, like, all escalate, but like, Jonah Heim deserves just as much credit for the success that the Rangers had and the success that they will have going forward. Cause I don't think this was a flash in the pan 1 year wonder for Jonah Heim.
Do not run on Jonah Heim, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else, because this man will throw you out. Okay. That's what he did all season. That's what he did in the postseason. And yes, I will take my victory lap. I got one right. We both got Rangers correct. Good for us, yeah. on Texas.
I wish we would have taken like some futures bets or something. Yeah, and really cashed in on our I was gonna say fortitude. That's not the word. The prediction.
Predictions.
Whatever. The word I was looking for there was.
You know, Heim is an excellent player. He's one of the best defensive catchers, obviously, and the bat is caught up to be a solid level. He's still not an amazing hitter, but he does hit well. His plate discipline has improved, and he's still in his 20s. So another guy who is seemingly going to be around for a while for a good team and should be, you know, in the conversation of top five for going forward. I don't see how he falls out because of the improvements he's made with the bat. But yeah, no, I'm super, super happy that he had a great year and that he's getting recognized for how good he has been. And I'm excited to see what he does going forward.
Yeah. And file this under the, you know, Captain Obvious category. But like, if Keber Ruiz had the season Jonah Heim did, like call it a 775 OPS, 18 home runs, 103 WRC plus, I am over the moon. You know, so it's like, even though offensively he might not be MVP level or, you know, even that kind of just below MVP level, but above all-star, in between MVP, that kind of the level, like, he's still very, very good, especially for a catcher. And I don't mean to like completely knock the catcher position, but just historically speaking, it's been a down offensive position because you make that tough trade, you know, 9 out of 10 times.
Absolutely.
But Jonah Heim is quickly cementing himself as a guy who can do both. He was already a great defender. Now he's increasing his offensive output. Like, I'm looking at his Fangraphs page right now. Like, as a prospect, his like game power was only a 30 grade.
Yeah, that's why he was kind of off the radar for a long time, just because the bat was just not there. But now he's worked his himself into being an above average hitter. So that's really impressive from him.
What's that like to have player development?
Great question. I got no idea.
Must be nice. All right, moving on to number four on our rankings. And we haven't had an extensive conversation about this player, but just my gut instinct tells me that you are very high on this guy. And I mean, obviously I knew what your rankings were. So I saw your rankings. I didn't know you're high on this guy, but William Contreras comes in at number four in our rankings. You had him at number three. I had him down at number six, but he's quickly rising on my my rankings list. What do you love so much about William Contreras?
Well, I think first of all, having him at number six is totally valid as well. Mm-hmm. Because he's only done this for one season.
Yeah, that was my thing.
That was my thing with not even putting him higher, because technically by F4, he was the number one catcher.
Yeah.
Obviously this was only one season. I do think it's going to translate, maybe not to this extreme every time, but I feel like his defense really got better when he went to the Brewers. Milwaukee does something up there. They've got a catcher lab and it works.
He was exceptional, especially framing last year.
Yes. And the difference between the previous season, of which he was one of the worst framers in baseball, it was like night and day. So there's that concern level because that happens so quickly. But at the same time, he's a young guy. The bat is real. That's definitely not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the catcher defense stays at least above average, I feel like we're going to be seeing William Contreras in the top five going forward. But yes, I agree. There is some skepticism because this was only a 1 year thing so far. The bat, though, was there the previous season. So I'm good with the bat. We'll just have to see what happens with the glove. But from this season, I'm thinking he's going to stick at catcher. So
yeah, I think if you play 141 games like he did last year and did the things he did defensively, there's a lot of reason for optimism for that defense sticking around.
Yeah, that's a large sample size.
Like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he did that offensively with Atlanta, which hindsight's 2020. I know Atlanta ended up with Sean Murphy out of the deal, who's very good and will be on this list a little bit later. But like for Atlanta to trade a 24-year-old catcher coming off a season where he hit 20 home runs, had 139 WRC plus, it's kind of, he was an all-star starter. It's kind of wild. Yeah. And granted, they traded for another all-star, but you know, it's kind of wild. Like the Brewers ended up like awesome out of that deal. I don't remember what they gave away in that trade, but
I think that one, that might have been the one where they traded Ruiz away to
it was a three-team deal
for sure. So
yeah, I can't remember. I think, you know, not having the, you know, logistics or the exact trade right in front of me, I think the Brewers have to be ecstatic with how they ended up. And that's it seems like a David Stern special, which of course now is in the Mets organization, which is just awesome. You know,
yeah,
just awesome.
Fantastic.
The other thing that really contributed to William Contreras' success is he really cut down on the strikeout rate.
Definitely.
It was respectable in 2022 with the 27%, but it was down to a 20.6% last year in more games.
Mm-hmm.
So he really, you know, speaking of guys that took their game to the next level, he's right there and had an excellent season. And as Trey mentioned, like the defense was crazy. Like it sounds so cliche and corny, but like, seeing what William Contreras did 1 year to the next defensively gives me a lot of hope for K.B. Ruiz. Like, yeah, it takes the right staff,
yeah,
the right coach.
He switched it on like night and day, because like he was not good the previous season defensively. They were DHing him a lot in Atlanta because of that. But he didn't have to be a DH much.
I think that 2022 All-Star game, the starting DH like couldn't make it, was hurt or whatever, and Wilson Contreras was the starting catcher by vote, and they made William Contreras the starting DH kind of de facto so the brothers could start. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool, but you know, nepotism.
I don't think so in this case. He's actually pretty good. He might be better than
this past year he absolutely deserved it, and I'm sure next year he'll deserve it too. All right, moving on to number five on our list. I believe a wise man named Trey once said the big dumper, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I did. You know what, I kind of nailed catchers last year. What the heck?
You kind of nailed the catchers. Cal Raleigh comes in at number five, and that was it wasn't like a spicy take, but it was a little bit of a bold hot take for you last year, really banging the Cal Raleigh drum. You were a big fan of the big dumper, and he rewarded your belief in him. He had a 30 home run season last year, 4.7 WAR. you didn't hit for average, but if you're getting 30 home runs out of your catcher spot, you're going to take that. Like, I can't stress that enough. Like, any team is going to sign up for a 30 home run season out of the catcher who, like, is respectable in other areas. And it's not like he's terrible defensively either. He's not like a league leader, but like he's solid. He's really good at stolen or like throwing guys out and stolen holding runners and stolen base run saved and things like that. And just kind of respectable in all areas, but he's kind of that, in my mind, the top of that tier two list, or maybe it's tier three because Adley is just like MVP tier. Yeah. But like, he's at the top of that next tier where you're just like, all right, this guy might not, you know, reset the catching market when it comes time to be him, for him to be a free agent, but he's really, really damn good and kind of just the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Defensively, he's great, and offensively, he's got power. He led the league in catcher home runs with 30, he's a weird hitter, definitely high strikeout, not going to hit for average, probably ever. But
correct,
like you said, 30 homers from your catcher, you're probably seeing the benefits. Ended with a 111 WRC plus, so he was 11% above average with really good defense. I don't see that changing. I feel like this is going to be who Cal Raleigh is, and that's totally cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think any Mariners fan would also agree that's cool with them too.
I mean, especially with the direction that franchise is trending, like who knows what they do.
What direction are they even going? I don't even.
Yeah, that's a whole separate.
Also, Cal Raleigh called out their ownership for not spending, so that's pretty badass.
All right, I'm bumping Cal Raleigh up my rankings. the nice thing about Cal Raleigh too is like, if you want to include his 2021 season, fine. If not, also fine. He only played 47 games. But like, if you're using those stats, he's trending in the right direction in so many stats. He's cut his strikeout rate down each season. He's increased his walk rate each season. He's increased his average each season. He's increased his on base each season, which I guess like if you improve your walk rate and average, like you're going to improve your on base. But I'm just saying like he's trending in the right directions in the categories he needed to kind of fix. Mm-hmm. And the power isn't being sacrificed to do so.
Yeah,
like he had 27 home runs. He had 27 home runs in 2022, 30 in 2023, in more games played. But he's also earning more responsibility. Like, I think for a true starting catcher, not like a true platoon or anything like that, you can kind of expect like 120 to 130 in terms of games played. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the DH kind of changes things now. But Cal Raleigh played 145 games last year. Like, it's damn near the whole season. So you can kind of see that he's becoming more trusted in that organization, in that team, and he's earning that trust and earning more playing time as well. So definitely cool to see for Cal Raleigh.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, number six on our list is Sean Murphy, the previously alluded to all-star catcher for the Atlanta Braves that was dealt in that big deal, last offseason?
Yes.
Where the A's are just being the A's.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy down at 7. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I know he started scorching hot and then really cooled off, but his end of season numbers were kind of what you would expect. What are your thoughts on Sean Murphy?
Yeah, no, it was the end of the year that kind of brought me down on him a little bit. Dealt with some injuries as well. So he wasn't like a full season. We got to see if maybe he can stay fully healthy this year, go through a full season with Atlanta. And also, I will say we do have the second year trend, with Sean Murphy, where we've seen that happens sometimes. So it's a little risky for me to put him down. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was just the end of the year. He did not perform nearly as well down the stretch and in the playoffs, especially. He was kind of a non-factor. I don't even really remember. I don't remember anything
he did. He struggled mightily, like, after the trade deadline.
Yeah. They
have Travis d'Arnaud, so it was like, okay, we're just going to play d'Arnaud. Murphy only played 108 games last year.
Mm-hmm. And he had some injury problems there, so that could have been a factor. And like you said, the final numbers are excellent, so let's not take anything away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I was just a little worried seeing how he kind of faded into the background. Oops, sorry, dropped my phone. Faded into the background so much at the end of the season, but still plenty of time on that contract that he signed, the extension, to rectify that. Obviously, we have the second year thing that we're kind of banking on a little bit with some of these players. So I could see him jumping back into the top five, but for now, I kept him a little bit further down. Still an excellent player. Still would love to have him on my squad.
I had him ranked fifth in my rankings because I am projecting a little bit. I think this was maybe not the worst season he'll have, but like in his quote unquote prime, like the first 3 years of that deal, 4 years of that deal, this will probably be the lowest he has, you know, assuming he doesn't get injured or anything like that. But despite him only playing in 104 games or whatever it was, like, he was still top six in defensive run saved at the catcher position. He was positive in a lot of other metrics as well. So I think he is kind of a good, I don't want to say bounce back because that implies like he was really bad last year and he wasn't. But he's poised for that second year boost that we alluded to. And just a quick tangent, I'm so mad at Matt Olson. I picked him for my MVP in 2022, thinking I had the key to success. He sucked in 2022 and then completely forgot about him in 2023, and he led the league in home runs.
It keeps happening too. And you know what? Yeah. Next year is going to be Trey Turner. I can see it coming.
We're just a year early on everything, and
it's
brutal. Brutal. But yeah, I think Sean Murphy's going to be just fine. And we talked about William Contreras, like, how could the Braves let him go? When you're getting a guy like Sean Murphy, it's a little bit more
understandable. Not a bad consolation prize for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Number seven on our list. We mentioned the old guard before. This is kind of the last of the old guard. Guys like Yasmani Grandal and Yadier Molina, they have since, you know, retired, or I don't think Grandal's officially retired, but his contract's up with the White Sox. Who knows what his future holds? JT Realmuto is holding down the fort. He's the old man around campus, and I say that to a 32-year-old man. So, last year not his best, and I think I mentioned to you when I first unveiled my rankings that like it felt almost sacrilegious to put Realmuto this low.
Yeah,
but I think that just speaks to the crop of talent that we've had introduced to the league in recent years with Adley and Will Smith and
so much young talent,
which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. For a while, like, catcher was a black hole position for like 27 of the 30 teams. If you didn't have one of those premier guys, you just basically didn't have a catcher. You kind of just platooned. Realmuto, again, not his best season, but like his offensive numbers were still solid. 20 home runs, 102 WRC plus, like his OPS was in the high 700s, mid to high 700s, 252 batting average. So it's like, it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't the Realmuto we've come to know.
Yeah.
His walks were down, his strikeouts were up. His average was down. The power was about the same, maybe a little bit down, but about the same. But, you know, Realmuto has been Realmuto because of what he does defensively. And he just kind of got passed by a lot of other guys. Not to say he's bad, but he just kind of got passed by. So I don't know if it was just a down year. He could have been dealing with injuries, or, you know, losing Bryce Harper for half the season might have impacted the team. Obviously having no Rhys Hoskins either. So like, I don't know. And I'm certainly not writing him off yet, but this very well could be like the new JT Realmuto in terms of like, this is just what he is at this point in his career.
Yeah. There's definitely some concern here for JT, because like you said, the K rate went up to almost 26% for JT.
Yeah, it jumped. It wasn't just slight. It jumped.
That's rough. So, you know, maybe he's starting to get blown away by the heater a little bit. You know, he's a unique catcher because he's an athlete and he's running around, he's stealing bases at the same time. So he might be aging a little quicker. You know, this is just a prediction, a thought here, because he could also come back next year and be fine. He's only, I think he's 30, going into 33.
Okay, 33. So
he's still in his lower 30s there. So he could come back out next year and be great. That's why we kept him around on the list, because in terms of overall war, he was like outside the top 20. So definitely not the season he wanted, but I believe he'll have a better year next year. He was a guy who kind of did the opposite of Sean Murphy. Really struggled in the first half. Second half was a lot better. Played pretty dang good in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
So that gave me a little bit of hope that he'll be able to.
That's just the Phillies as a whole, though.
Yeah,
like they kind of get by in the regular season and playoff, and they're like, "All right, let's go."
Yeah.
And they turn into the arguably the best team in the NL.
Yeah, and then again, I mean, if you're gonna take this season from a 33-year-old catcher,
yep.
Like we're talking about JT Realmuto, who was, you know, a perennial all-star, arguably going to make the Hall of Fame one day. So, you know, it's just below his level. And that's the real difference. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. This could be the beginning of the decline, or it could be, he could have a big bounce back next year. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I think it's good to keep him around the top seven for now, and wait and see. How that progresses.
It is kind of wild. He only has a 33 career war. Like,
yeah, the catcher war is a little weird too. Like,
seems not really, really low.
Yeah, he got a late start as well, I believe.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, he was a little older when he finally. I would have
thought he was in the mid 40s by this point.
Yeah, because
you mentioned he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I was like, could he still get there? And I'm just like, I mean, people are talking about Joe Mauer not being an MVP or a Hall of Famer. And I'm just like. All right. Well, if you're saying Mauer's not there, like Realmuto's definitely not there. So
yeah,
I think Mauer definitely is. So that's not my argument, but
yeah, that's just silly. I
do wonder if part of the and this is again a little bit of a tangent. I do wonder if part of the decision not to bring back Reese Hoskins is to open the door or leave the door open for Realmuto to play first base and DH. And like,
yeah, well, sort I would think of more have on the a, DH side, because I'm pretty sure they're going to go with Harper over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, they are. But I just mean, like, in general, like, have first base DH open, you know, put Realmuto at first and Harper DH, or, you know, Harper at first, Realmuto DH, and find a good defensive catcher, like, just options.
Yeah.
As opposed to having every single position locked and loaded and then having to, like, bench or sit Realmuto when, like, needs a day off, you know, or whatever.
And that should help theoretically keep him healthy.
Yeah. So we'll see if there's a little bit of a bounce back this year with Harper playing the whole year and Realmuto in theory having some more days off from behind the dish. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on to number 8 on our rankings, talking about catchers that helped their team to the World Series. This is another guy, Gabby Moreno, the Diamondbacks rookie catcher, had himself quite the year last year. Sorry, I just got mixed up with the stats. 1.7 F4, which honestly feels a little bit too low. But 287, 339, 408, 7 home runs in 111 games. But we kind of saw that ceiling really take off in the playoffs. Yeah. And that's really where he really made a name for himself. And I can't even begin to imagine what 2024 has in store for him. Like, this is the guy, if I had to pick anyone outside the top five that would make the jump into the top five for me, this is my pick. I'm just so excited for this kid's future. And I think the Diamondbacks really struck gold in that trade. I'm sure a lot of Diamondbacks fans were like, why the hell are we trading Dalton Varsho? He's such a good player, like such a weapon to have on a team. And I think the Diamondbacks easily won that trade. Between getting Moreno and Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who they just re-signed and was also instrumental in helping them win the pennant. Like, I think you're over the moon if you're a Diamondbacks fan.
Absolutely. And then you think about how Moreno's literally 24. That was his rookie year, his rookie season. And the playoffs,
he didn't get enough love for what he was able to do.
Yeah. And honestly, you say 1.7, it feels a little low. He only had 380 plate appearances. So he was kind of, they brought him in slow for sure. But then he quickly rose once the postseason came around. And like you said, I think that's where his ceiling is in his postseason performance. He really found the power stroke, started hitting home runs. I feel like he's got more. He only hit 7 homers in the regular season. That's going to go up as he continues to get more experience. And then defensively, he's excellent. He's a full-blown athlete out there.
Right.
Base running is a question mark for him, but that's kind of a question mark for most catchers. So that kind of hurt his overall WAR and offensive numbers. But 103 WRC plus for a rookie catcher at age 23 with great defense. Yeah, I'm taking that. And I agree that if there's a dude who could move in to the top five from outside of it, that's a young player. Yeah, it's Moreno right now, because his postseason performance was just unreal for such a young player to do what he did. I feel like that shows mental toughness, and I feel like he's going to be able to battle through maybe some rougher stretches in his younger career to become a more consistent hitter and consistent player going forward. And I'm really excited to watch him as well.
Yeah, for any rookie to not be fazed by the bright lights is impressive, but especially for a catcher having to deal with the short leash and high leverage. Every inning in the World Series is high leverage for a pitcher.
Think about it this way. You walk into Dodger Stadium as a rookie on an 84-win D-backs team against a juggernaut, and you go right. Yard off of one of the best pitchers ever.
Right.
I mean, if that doesn't show you balls of steel, I don't know what does. So,
Moreno, balls of steel.
Oh, balls of steel. Super hyper competitor. Super excited to watch him play going forward. Yeah, we should have probably prefaced the episode by saying there's so much young talent in the catcher pool now that wasn't there. And it's really exciting. It's really, really exciting. So very excited to watch him play even more.
Yep. All right. Speaking of young talent, number 9 on our list, he just missed the cut for me, but I have zero issues with him being on this list. Francisco Alvarez, I was going to say midseason call up, but I guess he was called up fairly early in the season. I guess due to who was their starting catcher? Was it McCann?
Omar Narvaez.
That's right. That's right.
And they brought him up, and then,
I was going to say due to injury. Started a little bit slow, and I think because the Mets sold off, I just wasn't paying attention to the Mets anymore. But like, his end of season numbers are really solid, like 25 home runs in his rookie year, 2.7 WAR, 209, 284, 437. If you just look at the slash line, that's a little bit more of what you typically get from most catchers, like a low 700s OPS, but you don't get the power, the home runs that Alvarez did. And again, in theory, he's going to improve upon the offensive statistics that he struggled with this year. So I would expect a better contact rate, more walks, a little bit less strikeouts, and obviously an overall better performance out of Alvarez. But he was also just kind of as advertised in a lot of respects, like great defensively, top 10 in defensive runs saved, was great framing, strike zones, run saved. Like there's a lot to really like about Alvarez. And I think it's safe to say that the Mets found their catcher of the future.
Yeah. Another guy, 22 last year, 22-year-old season. And he's putting up a 2.7 F4 with just incredible defense. And I want to say he was one of the best, if not the best framer last year.
He's out there for sure.
He was definitely up there. I'm expecting his offense to go up. He obviously had the power with the 25 homers. 209 average, that's a little rough, but he had a 222 BABIP. That's very, very low. He's not going to be a guy that hits for a high average, I don't think. He's more of a power guy. But I think he'll improve from the 209, maybe get to the 240s. And then you're going to see kind of everything go up based on that. The defense is really what has opened my eyes on Alvarez. He's just The framing is unbelievable. And he's got an absolute rocket on his right shoulder. Just laser beams constantly from him back there. So I agree. I think the Mets have found their catcher of the future. And I'm scared. I'm scared of him going forward for sure.
Yep. It's the rich get richer, which I guess the Mets are rebuilding, but they're like buying the rebuild in some respects.
Yeah, it's interesting strategy from them. But yeah, Alvarez should be the guy going forward for them.
Yep. Rounding out our top 10 is a guy, I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed in. At last year, I can't remember where exactly he fell in our rankings. Probably around 6. He was up there. Alejandro Kirk comes in at number 10 in our rankings. Trey, you had him unranked. I had him ranked 9th. So he just makes the cut over some of our honorable mentions. I still believe in Alejandro Kirk. I think people forget he's only 20, or like he was only 24 last year. So he's still young. And he had such a good 2022 that it's honestly not a complete shock that he wasn't able to replicate that stat line, especially offensively. And dealt with some injuries, some nagging injuries last year. But like, if you look at, you know, his walk percentage, his K percentage, like it's within range. Like his K percentage was exact same as in 2022 as it was in 2023. And it's a 10.7. So it's like an exceptional K rate too. Like we're talking about, I think it was William Contreras, like had a really good K rate at 20.6. Like Alejandro Kirk has half that, you know? So I think we are going to see, maybe not quite to the level of 2022, but we're certainly going to see a slightly better performance than 2023 for Alejandro Kirk. The big thing for me was he got so much better defensively last year. Like, he really elevated his game. The thing for me to watch is they still have Danny Jansen, who's another good backup candidate. And I think he cracked our top 10 last year as well.
Yeah.
And that's not to mention Dalton Varsha, who can also catch, you know? So it's like, is Kirk the guy? It certainly seems that way. But like, if Jansen gets off to a hard start where Kirk doesn't, then could we see that change and that shift start to happen? But I still believe in his ability, and I think the best has yet to come for Alejandro Kirk. But the improvements defensively, despite taking a step back offensively, still leads me to believe like he will improve overall in 2024 as he has another year under his belt.
Yeah, Kirk would be just outside my top 10. He'd be probably my number 11. It's just the lack of power that kind of turned me away from putting him in the top 10. But the plate discipline is still there. The K rate is great. The walk rate is still good. So I think 96 WRC plus, let's get it straight. For a catcher, that's probably above average, first of all. And with his defensive improvements, like you said, you're going to take that. So still had a pretty good season. But I agree. I think he's a better hitter than this, I think. Overall, I don't know if he's as good as he was in 2022 either. It's probably somewhere in the middle. Seems to be kind of the thing with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, give me a 110 WRC plus with that defense and we are good to go.
Right. Like double digit home runs, you know, over 100 WRC plus, like somewhere in that range. Like, he's going to be a bona fide top 10, back half top 10, but top 10 guy regardless for me. So I'm not writing him off just yet. It is my thing. And I wanted to keep him in the top 10 before I was too reactionary in some respect. But you didn't have him on your list. Instead, you had another guy who comes in as an honorable mention. You want to touch on him real quick?
Yeah. So my number 10 choice was actually Bo Naylor. I decided to give him a spot because I think what he showed in a limited and broken up, might I add, broken up playing time last year was pretty impressive. He was able to be consistent on defense, and he found his hitting ability towards the end of the year. Struggled because they wouldn't let him cook. Honestly, they wouldn't let Bo Naylor cook. They kept throwing in Zunino and other guys, and I feel like now they're going to let him be the starter. He played well enough to earn that role. He's got great plate discipline, 13% walk rate as a rookie. I mean, that's unbelievable. And he doesn't strike out too much. He's like 23%, which is fine. He has power. He is a great defender. I think Bo Naylor could potentially make the All-Star team this year because
interesting.
He was 2.4 F4, 67 games, 230 plate appearances. That's nothing for that much war. I was just confused as to why they didn't let him go more, like play him more. He's clearly ready and good. And I don't know, but now they're going to kind of be forced to, he's forced their hand.
And they also have a catcher as their manager now. So there might be a little, you know, not like positive bias in that respect. So I think 2024 is the year of Bo Naylor cooking. My honorable mention came in at number 10 for me was Patrick Bailey. You know, we talked about Gabby Moreno and the rookie season he had for the NLS team. I think Patrick Bailey severely got overlooked. He was exceptional defensively, like arguably the best defensive catcher in baseball last year.
I don't even think it was arguable, honestly. I'm pretty sure really? It was.
All right, then even better. That helps my point. He was not the best offensively, but again, it was his rookie year. 7 home runs in 97 games, 233, 285, 359 for a 78 WRC plus, but still a 2.8 F4. His hit tool and raw power tool should be better. Like, that's what he was scouted as. He was first round pick back in 2020. Like, it should be better. Is it going to get like to a Will Smith level? I doubt it, but it should be better than what it was. Granted, it is Oracle Park, and that's not the most hitter friendly place. So we'll see. But I think at least his on base percentage and average should be a little bit better than what it was. And if the defense stays still, then he's a fringe top 10 guy every single year because his defense is just that freaking good. And as I said at the top of the show, like, I'm prioritizing defense a little bit more in my rankings, and you know, according to Trey, there's nobody better than Patrick Bailey, and I think that's a pretty certain fact that Patrick Bailey's exceptional defensively and is a name to watch for sure heading into 2024.
Yeah, I mean, his defense was so good that it made up for a pretty not great offensive season.
Yeah.
Another guy who was a rookie who can improve, who can get better than a 78 WRC plus. And if he does do that with this level of defense and a unique way of throwing runners out, by the way, he has like the quickest pop time because he's throwing like a 3/4 angle. It's crazy stuff. Honestly, you should just check him. Watch him play defense. Watch him play. It's just interesting to watch. But yeah, no, if he can improve the bat a little bit more, he's going to enter the top 10 because the defense was the best last year. We'll have to see going forward if it continues to stay that way. I don't see it changing. I mean, no. It's kind of hard to go from literally the best to just like bad. So he's at least going to be good. I don't
know. Like, he has room to get worse and still be the best. Yeah, you know,
he had the most defensive war, I think, in the league or F war.
26.8.
Less than 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't even play that much. So it's pretty crazy.
It's also crazy that like Joey Bart was the heir apparent to Buster Posey. And again, like, Patrick Bailey was a first round draft pick. So it's not like he came out of nowhere, but you know, Joey Bart didn't really pan out the way the Giants had hoped, and insert another like just exceptional catcher.
Yeah. Here he is. Yep. Got another guy.
Exactly. So that concludes our top 10 rankings for catchers. Just a quick recap. We have Adley Rutschman, Will Smith, Jonah Heim, Cal Raleigh. Oh, wait, sorry.
William Contreras.
William Contreras. Cal Raleigh, Sean Murphy, JT Realmuto, Gabby Moreno, Francisco Alvarez, and Alejandro Kirk, with some guys that are quickly on the rise. So it'll be fun to do this or to revisit this next offseason. Next episode, we are tackling the first base position. So that's always a fun episode because you got the heavy hitters there.
We got
who cares about defense?
Dudes,
who cares
about dingers,
defense? Defense doesn't matter.
Dingers, just dudes and dingers, and that's it.
Right. So it's the exact opposite of the catcher episode. So that'll be a fun one. So be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're not already and you're not watching on YouTube. Go check us out. Appreciate you on there. We are now on TikTok as well at District Baseball, so be sure to follow us over on there, and of course on Twitter at District BSB. We appreciate you guys listening, watching, contributing, commenting, all that stuff. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.